Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea top of the right circle. Reels it in. Hands it off. Carlson shoots. Off the post and home! William Carlson!
From the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shields kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose. A shot and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal. It's Tomas Hertl. His first goal is a night.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the...
We are closing in on game three of this first round series between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. The series moving over to the Strip. And tomorrow night at the Fortress, there's a whole bunch that's going to be happening. The tattoo people are going to be back. You get a free Golden Knight tattoo if you want to put that permanently on your body. They were a huge hit last year. The national media loved that storyline out at Toshiba Plaza. And then inside, I'm told that there's a couple of special... debuts that are coming our way as the Golden Knights turn the page from the regular season to the playoffs. And you know what that means at the Fortress. That means the show is freshened up. The show is altered. The performance before the puck drop is different than what you're used to. So you want to be there to enjoy what the Golden Knights game day presentation has to offer before the puck is dropped for game number three. That is as much of a story as the hockey. And then you get into the hockey and everything revolves around winning game three and taking a 3-0 series lead. But in no other city, no other team is the pregame performance such a part of the fabric of the evening and the hockey night.
Oh, I'm excited now. I mean, I was excited anyway for the game, but now that...
But you knew that they would do something fresh and up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They do every year, and not only do they do it every year, but they even have differences and little nuances in between rounds or in different rounds. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it because, you know, once you get a new show pregame, it's really cool to kind of dig into all of the different aspects of that alongside the game. So, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm excited. I could not be more excited for game number three, but I'm pretty excited for the pregame shows too.
Remember last year they took down the Jets and then they struck oil and then the Stars were aligned and United in the Realm was the overall focus on the journey last year that we got to go on. So the follow-up, the sequel, so to speak, tomorrow night. And want to let everybody know, gold is the fashion urging that we want everybody wearing tomorrow. Wear your gold. It's a gold out, like the white out in Winnipeg and different things that we've seen. Want everybody wearing gold. If you're not wearing gold, then we'll be able to see who's cheering for the other team in the Dallas Stars. That's in my mind, that's what I'm thinking. So we want everybody wearing gold tomorrow. Get the message out. I was just down at the Arsenal. There's lots of different options to choose from if you don't have anything gold, but the gold sweater, there's the gold jackets, there's gold t-shirts, it's all right there. So the marketing people have made it the goal to get that message out, to wear that gold.
How much gold are you going to be wearing tomorrow?
Well, I'm on camera, so I don't really have a lot of gold to go with. I have one suit that has gold in it, and I have a tie that I wear with that suit. It's black with gold pinstripes, and I usually do wear it for special occasions, and it might be for that. I would probably only wear it a couple of times in a Stanley Cup playoff run, so I just have to manage that a little bit. I wasn't wearing it for games 1 and 2 at Studio 31. I just feel like it needs a home game to be. So it might be that night, being tomorrow night, that that I rock a little bit of gold to come out. But for everybody else, my family, they got all mm-hmm. the gold. Make sure that that we're ready to go. Gold shoes are also in. I've got gold shoes that they go with my suit.
Nice.
That's really important. So and I don't know whether they have gold any plaid that sort of
yes.
goes in gold. You're a big plaid guy. Can you go off the script and put on some gold? Offer a dash in there?
Well, I mean, I've got a like a golden plaid shirt. Like I've got a golden flannel.
There you go. Yeah.
Come on.
There we go.
I'm right in with it.
I love it. Chapman, do you have anything?
No, and even if I did, I wouldn't wear it.
Why?
Well, because
what are you talking about? You don't have anything gold?
No, I have yellow, but I don't have gold. But I wouldn't wear it because tomorrow night Chapman is a member of the media, not a member of the broadcast team.
No,
so,
you don't have to have a logo on it.
I'm not saying
you have to wear a VGK jersey in the press box.
This may come as a surprise to you. I actually don't own anything with a VGK logo on it.
Okay, well, we're going to have a talk after the season ends about your wardrobe in the press box anyway. So you're on borrowed time with the idea of wearing whatever you want.
Hey, listen,
so I would soak this up while I could.
I may show up in my lobster bathing suit that I wore out to Circa, the stadium swim on Wednesday night. So
you have a chance to buy in.
The fact that you don't
have
a gold jacket.
No.
That blows my mind.
You know why?
Because
I don't want to be I can be the voice of the fans, but I don't want to be perceived as a fan by the staff or by the players.
Who are you going to offend?
I didn't say offend.
Gold's a color.
But if I show up in a gold jacket in the press box and go down to the locker room after the game and I'm asking Jack Eichel a serious question, he might look at me and be like, who's this fan?
Have you looked in the mirror and seen what? Like, I have pictures of you in New York and what you were wearing.
Oh, boy.
What did I wear in New York?
I don't think that you can cross the line that was etched in New York on that road trip.
Listen, I don't own a lot of cold weather stuff. I had to put stuff together to even stay warm.
And you know why I have pictures of you in New York on that road trip?
Why is that? Because I looked like a rock star.
No, because people were sending them to me.
That's good.
Saying, look what your guy's wearing.
Good.
I'm like, don't blame me on that.
Yeah. No, listen, I love what I wear.
I'm just saying, don't pin it on journalistic integrity.
No,
when you've worn in the past, get on board with the gold.
No, if I go into the locker room with a gold jacket.
Okay, what about some gold accent, like what Ryan's talking about?
I don't have anything with gold.
Well, like, okay, hold on.
You got 24 hours.
No, I'm not going out and buying something gold.
Hold on, here's what I'm having a hard time understanding. The simple act of wearing something gold does not equate to you rooting for the team.
Well said, Ryan.
No, it just doesn't.
Listen, if I go in the locker room after the game, players might be like, who let this fan in the locker room?
No one's
going to say that.
Listen,
you've been in the locker room for every single game all year long. People know who you are inside of that room. No one's going to sit there and be like, oh my gosh, Chapman has a gold pocket square.
You know what they'll
He's
probably
a fan.
Say? They'll probably say, hey, Chapman's toned it down tonight.
Maybe.
Hey, I've had players compliment me on the purple jacket. You know who was a big fan? Pierre Edward Belmar. He asked me where I got it. He was like, "Can you tell me where you got it so I can go get one?"
So I don't shop there.
Huh. No, every time I wore it, he complimented me.
I don't mind your purple jacket.
I can attest to the compliments.
I don't mind your purple jacket, but I don't understand the whole journalistic integrity.
Because I can't look like a fan
when I go into the locker room wearing something gold.
I can't look like a fan.
But again, like if you wear a gold tie.
Yeah. Like I'm wearing a black suit with gold accents, pinstripes,
right,
and gold shoes. Am I compromising myself, Chapman?
Yeah, but you're part of the broadcast team. It's okay. You can do that.
Okay.
You're on the payroll. I'm not. I can't do that. I have standards that I have to uphold.
I wanna be on your side, Chapman, but I don't see it here.
Yeah, but why?
I don't.
It's not that difficult. It's a pretty simple concept. Like, if I show up in the locker room in something, even if it's gold, a gold tie, which I don't even think I own a tie anymore.
Let me ask you a question. If reporters in Winnipeg wear a white shirt under their suit, and then they go into the locker room, are they fans?
White is a standard color that you would wear under your suit jacket. I mean, my dad was a banker. He wore a white dress shirt every day for 30 years.
But I'm saying if that color scheme is off limits, because otherwise you're going to be misconstrued as a fan.
No, because gold is not a common color. Gold is not something that
it can absolutely be utilized in a more common way.
I think we've uncovered a real controversy here.
There's no controversy.
Chapman's not with us. He's not with us.
I'm not with you.
He's been pretending for a while.
Not the voice of the fans.
Chapman's fraudulent.
I can be the voice of the fans without being a fan.
You can't know you.
Yes, I can.
Please take that as a drop. Take that as a drop and include the part where we skewer you for saying I can be the voice of the fans without being a fan.
I can be objective. I can be on the side of the fans.
You can't be the voice of the fans without being a fan.
Yes, you can.
You cannot be.
I can speak for the fan base by virtue of having a microphone on this show, by virtue of being part of the VGK Insider Show. I don't have to actively root for the team. Now, do I want the team to succeed?
Here we go.
Of course. Of course I do.
Here's his trying to kiss up to the fans
now. It's all about me. My job is a lot more fun and a lot better when the team is good. Two years ago when they missed the playoffs, it stunk.
Your position in the fan base took a big hit today.
I don't think
I can't wait to see what Rita says about you.
Rita's mad at me.
702-876-1340. Rita, text us or tweet us in. Can Chapman be the voice of the fans without being a fan? That's what the whole fashion agenda has come down to.
Okay, so I've got some updates here on the text line, 702-876-1340, text in your thoughts and opinions. Wynn says, Chapman, please, with a crying face emoji, so you're breaking her heart.
Warren Boozer
just made her cry.
Hold on. Larry says, Darren, since Chapman doesn't have any Golden Knights gear and since you make $385,000 a year, why don't you hook him up and buy him some Knights gear? That makes sense to me.
Chapman, I'll give you a jersey.
I don't want a jersey.
I'll give you a jersey.
That's crossing the line, though. You can't walk in with a jersey, but you can absolutely walk in
with a
gold accented tie.
Yeah, or pocket square.
Gold accent, like if it's like black and it's got like gold bumblebees or something like that. Yeah. I could probably get away with
that. That's all we're saying.
But
has he not been listening
My when you kept saying gold tie, I kept thinking of Regis Philbin with those like shiny gold ties.
What's wrong with that?
Well,
when he wore the all black, when it was
a black shirt and a black suit and the gold tie and it popped, that was awesome.
So Wes says it's disrespectful to not have any VGK gear.
I'm with Wes. Disrespectful.
Robert says Chapman's breaking hearts right now.
Well, that's what I'm known for.
Yeah.
There is one
pro Chapman text right now. Keith says, I can't believe I'm texting this, but I completely agree with Chapman.
That sounds like it's the first time he's ever agreed with me.
That sounds like Chapman's middle name is Keith.
My middle name is Harold.
here's one just in. Christopher, he used your whole first name. Christopher taking massive L's, no longer the voice of the people.
I can't even see that one. Is that a tweet?
Yeah, no. That's a text that just came in on the text line.
Oh, why am I?
You're not listening at all.
No, nope, I. Nope. It didn't refresh. Okay, so nope. I'm shocked.
Golden Knights are up 2-0 in this first round series against the Dallas Stars, and the biggest story in this series is Chapman having his fan role as the voice of the fans revoked.
Rick mm-hmm. says he's shocked. Shocked. Bet I have some Devils gear. Believe it or not, I don't. I don't own any New Jersey Devils stuff.
Well,
so would you refrain from wearing black, red, and white anytime if you were a Devils reporter. Like, come on, buddy.
Yes, yes.
Just wear something.
I wouldn't wear something that could be misconstrued as me being a fan when I'm there to
no
do a job.
No one is going to misconstrue a gold accent as anything but you just decided to wear gold. You're the most eccentric person that I know.
I don't.
The fact that you don't own anything gold to wear makes no sense to me.
It's not really my color.
You wear Hawaiian shirts
yes.
in the press box.
I do. Yes.
To work.
Well, my name is Magnum on that, Twitter. So.
That is not a professional look in the press box. Yet you're right now worried about crossing the line and compromising your journalistic integrity by wearing a gold tie.
I'm not, for like the 13th time, I don't own anything gold.
Well, the Arsenal is open right now.
No, that means I'm a fan. That means
I will
I'm going...
FaceTime with you, and you can pick something out. All right?
Oh, my goodness. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I can't walk into the locker room looking like a fan.
Oh, we got some good text in right now. Stuart says, sorry, I thought I was listening to the VGK Insider Show, but it sounds more like one of you belongs on the Outsider Show.
Oh, you know what? I like Sean's.
Do you know who Sean's talking about?
No. Sean's text. Would Chapman wear a gold Kangol hat? Actually, I probably would.
Okay. Who do you think the person
so
on the outside is, Chapman?
Oh, that's me.
Okay. Just so you're aware. I'm getting texts from people that aren't even sending them to the VGK Insider Show. They're just friends of the show. And they're petrified right now that I'm going to reveal the names, and I won't. But I just got three different texts all saying the same thing. Never been more disappointed. I'm so disappointed in Chapman.
Listen. Now James Dow.
That's not who sent
the text. I'm reading the text on the text line. What about flamingo pink accent? James, I actually own two pairs of socks that have flamingos on them, and I do wear them regularly in the press box.
Right, and it's crazy for us to think that you own something with a gold accent. Crazy.
Two pairs of flamingo
socks. Sean says, Chapman, get it together. You got to represent. Enough of the BS. I agree.
Yeah. So we've come to the conclusion.
The fans are not on my side here.
The voice of the fans, Chris Chapman, has had his position revoked. Right?
I'm checking in. We do have one text in from Rita. She says, love you, Magnum, but you are so losing this one.
Oh, it's what about a VGK pin? No, I can't do that. How about just a nice polo shirt? This is from Zoe. Come on, Chapman. How about just a nice polo with a VGK logo on it? It'll just look like you're dressed for work.
Oh, man.
Warren wants to know if I would wear it.
Johnny Mack, you should get Chapman to admit to being a fan while simultaneously pretending not to be. Love it.
I don't have to be a fan to speak for the fans. That was his line. T-shirts should be made up of that.
Hey, as long as I get royalties, you can make the T-shirts up for everything you want.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right. You know Stephanie?
Yeah, of course.
My friend Stephanie.
Oh, yeah. She's always very nice to me in the press
box. From the Vegas Golden Knights?
Yes.
Yeah. She's disappointed in you. She's one of the people. She just gave me the green light to tell you.
Oh, no. That hurts.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
See, now you being disappointed in me, that doesn't bother me. Her being disappointed in me, that kind of bothers me. It hurts.
I can't wait to tell my wife this.
Doesn't she listen?
She may not be listening right now, but she's just going to be just perplexed by the journalistic integrity argument and the you don't have to be a fan to speak for the fans and then knowing how you dress on a regular basis. That's just not going to compute. The city needs
it doesn't,
gold.
It doesn't,
this the city needs doesn't gold, and up, Chapman, Chapman, you need to get on board.
There's plenty of gold in the city. The MGM Grand used to have a gold yellow brick road in it. There's plenty of gold.
Chapman, yes. Chapman, do me a favor. Just go get a pair of gold socks.
Yeah. Rob Hines, Chapman is the people's hero. You know what? I'll end on that note.
Just
you don't have the self-discipline to end
Get a pair of gold socks.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm the people's hero. I'm good.
You do not have the self-discipline.
You're not to
hang it up on that. The important thing is, for everybody else that is a fan of the Vegas School of the Knights, Chapman's over there. He's with the Dallas people. But all you Golden Knight fans, wear your gold tomorrow night to game three. Gold it up. I got to come up with a better phrase than that, but we need the gold because it's just going to look cool. Once it takes, it's just going to look really cool. We've seen Calgary used to do the Sea of Red. We've got the whiteout in Winnipeg. It just looks so awesome when everybody's together on this, and gold will just pop. It's not just some basic color. It's just going to pop. And then you'll see Chapman in the middle of it, one guy in green.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
green because
happen.
Of, you know, journalistic integrity.
Because, yeah, he doesn't want to walk into the VGK locker room wearing gold. He's protecting his journalistic integrity. And he's not a fan. Even though he speaks for the fans, he's not a fan. Here's a couple of quotes from the Dallas Stars. Vegas has a 2-0 lead for the third series in a row, going back to last year. So they're not in foreign territory right now. This is different because they won the first two on the road and they're coming home. It feels like it's a bigger advantage, even though the wins are the same. And the Dallas Stars are feeling that as well. They were down 2-0 a year ago. They dropped game three before making it a series. They're going uphill a little bit more in 2024. And here's from Pete DeBoer. There are all kinds of motivation, but no more than your season being on the line. I don't think you need extra motivation. Other than that, I think the guys know exactly where we stand. That says everything you need to know about where the Golden Knights are and the opportunity that exists for Game 3.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a great chance in front of the Golden Knights to really, really take that stranglehold. Obviously, you talked about it. A 2-0 series lead is not anything automatic, though, when you factor in that those two wins came in Dallas and you come back home and how good the Golden Knights had been inside T-Mobile Arena, it's a great opportunity. And the Dallas Stars recognize that, you know, they look at Game 3 as a must-win game. You do not want to go down 3-0 with two more games at T-Mobile Arena. So, I think Pete's pretty much right on the money there. It is a desperate, desperate situation for the Dallas Stars tomorrow evening in T-Mobile Arena.
We want to maintain our journalistic integrity and reputation on this show, so we will bring you both sides of it, both the Vegas Golden Knights, Bruce Cassidy, his media availability later on in the program. Here is a secondary quote from Pete. If you remove yourself from the emotion of it, that's what we do, professionals in the media, right? Mm-hmm. And back to Pete, you look at the actual underlying numbers of things, the margins are razor thin. I liked our game two better than game one, and I didn't mind our game one. Big save, big goal at the right time, and our series can turn. That's from Pete DeBoer. You heard some of that today from Bruce Cassidy as well. Both coaches, one's down 2-0, the other is in command of the series up 2-0, and they're saying the exact same thing. The margins and the difference in this series are so minute. Vegas, though, has come out on the strong side of both. And while Pete said they were better in game two than they were in game one, I would counter that with, I thought Vegas was significantly better in game two. Didn't have as many dips during the game, and certainly was better on the defensive side in defending that neutral ice and in their own zone, only giving up the 10 shots. So Pete has to sell his team, and he will do that. But I saw some really good progress out of the Golden Knights in game two.
Yeah, I thought Vegas was definitely better in game two than they were in game one. And I don't disagree with Pete's assessment of Dallas. There were moments for Dallas, certainly in game number two, where they could have, either found an equalizer or giving themselves a little bit more runway. But the fact of the matter is, I agree with the whole premise of the margins have been thin, right? I know it was a 3-1 victory in game number two, but for all intents and purposes, the entire game, it was essentially either tied or a one-goal game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you gotta find ways to make plays, get that big save. The Golden Knights, through the first two games, they've gotten it. And it was similar if we go back to the Western Conference Final last year. You look at the first two games, it was a couple of overtime victories for the Golden Knights where they made one more play. They got one more save than Dallas, and that's really what the playoffs boil down to. Are you going to be able to get those consistently? Right now, through two games, it's been in the Golden Knights' favor, but that can turn at any time.
The crowd, the environment, the debuts tomorrow night, not necessarily on the ice, but with the show that's going to be presented. There's going to be an electricity at the Fortress not seen since June 13th. And then that was followed by a great banner-raising night, but a different type of emotion on that night compared to June 13th when they won the Stanley Cup and the anticipation that to tomorrow night with the opportunity to take a 3-0 series lead and really knock the number one seed in the Western Conference down. You're going to have to match some kind of desperation, if you want it to phrase it as that, the Vegas Golden Knights evening out what the Dallas Stars are going to contribute. But you also just have to play within your system, and the excitement level of the building will get you going. Sometimes, though, and I thought it was cool, and when Bruce brings this up later, think about this. Sometimes athletes can get so focused on making sure they don't get out of touch and don't get too caught up in the crowd that they're not, that they pull it back too much. And right. Bruce said, like, there's a little bit of that where you got to make sure that you embrace it a touch. You got to wrap yourself around it to a certain point. Otherwise there's no reason for home ice advantage. But you can't just be neutral in the whole show.
You have to find that sweet spot when it comes to playing off of the crowd, right? Because to your point, you can't, and to Bruce's point, you can't be too flat because you're trying to give yourself a governor, so to speak, and
right.
then you can't get too amped up trying to make the perfect play or the pretty play or abandon the structure that allowed you to take a 2-0 series lead. So it'll be interesting to see how they find that balance, and really I think that the best way to do it is to just play to their identity and play to the game plan that has been set out like they did the first two games.
Imagine if Chapman did the siren tomorrow night and he wasn't wearing anything gold. Like nothing. He was completely neutral.
Well, he wouldn't do the siren because of journalistic integrity.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a very good point. We have entered a new phase of this show. I had no idea that journalistic integrity was such a guiding light of this program. I feel like that in the past, I've maybe wavered off that, and I'm mad at Chapman right now for not keeping me in the line on that side. In fact, I need just a couple of minutes, if you guys don't mind, just to step away, and we'll be back with more of the VGK Insider Show, guided by journalistic integrity on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Things going great around the Las Vegas Valley. How about the Vegas Nighthawks? Should acknowledge what Coach and everybody are doing over there with a 4-0 start. They've got a ticketing deal right now that is going in lockstep with the Vegas Golden Knights. Opportunities for fans in attendance to the Vegas Nighthawks to win VGK playoff tickets and prize packages. The Nighthawks in action tomorrow. It's an afternoon game. They've moved that game over at Lee's Family Forum to the afternoon, so you can do both. In fact, you can go to the Nighthawks game. You can leave your car there. You can catch the public transit, go down to T-Mobile, watch the game, and come back and get your car, and it's all great. There's no extra charge for leaving your car at Lee's Family Forum. So cool things happening around the Vegas Nighthawks and the Vegas Golden Knights trying to make it a 3-0 lead against the Dallas Stars. Practice today after the travel day yesterday. Vegas stayed in Dallas after game two because the time change. Remember, it was so late. It was like almost 9 o'clock start in Dallas for games one and two. So they stayed overnight after game two, flew day yesterday, did not practice. They were on the ice today. Jonathan Marchessault was not on the ice, though, taking a maintenance day along with William Karlsson, Ivan Barbashev, and Alex Pietrangelo. Nick Hague will not play tomorrow, but Marchessault, Karlsson, Barbashev, and Pietrangelo all expected to go after missing the practice on the return today. Caden Korzak is part of the taxi squad. He was up with Nick Hague out. They've got eight. They want to have eight defensemen pairings for all the drills. So Caden Korzak was practicing with the team today. So a little bit of an update as far as roster and potential absences tomorrow. But the great news is that those four and Karlsson, Marchessault, Barbashev, and Pietrangelo are all going to play.
Yeah, that's huge, obviously. And, you know, you look at the playoffs and really we know what it means and what it takes to go deep. If you need maintenance days, you take them, right? And that's going to be the most important aspect of the Golden Knights moving forward, is kind of balancing that ability to give those maintenance days, but also to continue to play and execute in those games at a high level.
If you are going to try to pick out a not best player, I don't want to summarize it that bit because it's only been two games, but somebody that that you think has grabbed the reins with this series on behalf of the Vegas Golden Knights. Is it Jack Eichel with his 4 points? Is it Jonathan Marchessault with goals in back-to-back games? Is it the power play surge in game number one that established things? Could it be that that pairing of Hanifin and Pietrangelo, or the pairing of Whitecloud and Martinez, which came in, and Martinez coming in and doing a great job? And then you get to Logan Thompson. Who's your primary, when you think 2-0 lead, I think of this player?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say Noah Hanifin, to be honest. I think you look at, you know, the power play success for the Golden Knights in game number one, a lot of it is kind of predicated on Noah Hanifin and his ability to be really simplistic and get pucks to the front of the net. And, you know, from there, he's the guy that comes up with the with that goal, right? In game number two, it's the game winner. He jumps in, he finds that loose puck, and he makes a perfect shot. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, with Noah Hanifin, he's got 3 points, a goal, 2 assists. Like, I think he has been a player that has had his imprint on both of those games, and it's not necessarily more so than anybody else, but he stands out to me on a night-to-night basis, and I think he's been great through the first two games.
You know how many shots he's had in two games?
One?
Yeah.
That's
a weird stat.
They were deflected in. But
exactly.
Yes.
They scored on two of his shots, but in because hockey's weird and we've got all these strange ways to interpret stats, Hanifin didn't get credit for a shot with those two deflection goals, even though he's the one that shot the puck. And then he scores his first ever Stanley Cup playoff goal. Thank you, Noah, for saving that for the Vegas Golden Knights. I really do appreciate that. And is there anything about the Vegas Golden Knights, I believe, had 5 game-winning goals from defensemen during the regular season? They have 2 so far in 2 games. Is that just the way it goes, or do you think that they're more I don't know whether it's more conscious of that, more aggressive. Where are you on that strange development?
I think that you said hockey is weird just a couple of minutes ago, and I think that it's kind of the case. Like, when you get into the playoffs, I think everybody recognizes that even if they're not a scorer, like take Braden McNabb for example, he can score, he can help you in that regard, but that's not his main objective. You get contributions from everywhere. You get everybody elevating their game, and I think that sometimes that leads to more goals from the back end, or, you know, more goals from unlikely sources. And, you know, through the first two games, you know, the only thing that I can look at is you've got a couple of defensemen that made some plays and they resulted in game winners. And I don't expect every game winning goal to be from a defenseman, but hockey's weird sometimes.
I still don't know how the Brayden McNabb shot made it all the way through.
See,
I don't. Like, and Brayden said he saw Elaine, but there was so much happening. Good on him for firing that home and for it to go the perfect corner, short side corner, the way it did right now. You know, Jake Oettinger, I wonder where his head is at right now going into game three. This is a player that's was actually good against Vegas, like the record and the performance against Vegas up until last year's third-round series was impressive. And during that third-round series, the wheels came off, and he struggled so mightily, was even yanked in a game, and hasn't been able to beat Vegas since. 0-3 during the regular season, head-to-head between the two teams, Vegas coming out on top, and now not winning any of the first two games. That's where I think the start tomorrow, if you can manufacture something to go your way and get a couple of pucks to go in, it just feels like mentally you might be on the verge of having him wonder, what is it going to take for me to get a break against these guys?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And especially through the first two games, I think Jake Oettinger's been pretty good,
yeah,
if not really good. And it hasn't been a scenario where he's just kind of allowing, you know, easy goals or anything like that. He has been solid for Dallas. It's just the Golden Knights can finish, and they've made some plays. And now you're starting to get into that territory where you have not beaten this team over your last four or five starts against them. All of a sudden, that doubt creeps in. So if Vegas can kind of jump out early, a couple of goals in the first period might be exactly what you need to maybe break Jake Oettinger down. And then the flip side to that is, if the Golden Knights do come out, and they do come out with a lot of energy, and they're able to generate some chances, a strong period from Jake Oettinger could give Dallas a lot of momentum and belief. So it goes kind of both ways. The Golden Knights want to find a way to solve him early. And if Jake Oettinger can kind of hold on and withstand that pressure, then all of a sudden you have a little bit more belief if you're Dallas.
Golden Knights, 55 hits in game number one. I put some of that to the fact that Dallas had the puck a little bit more. The shot attempts were in favor of Dallas. The shots on goal were double, 29-15 in favor of Dallas. It didn't feel like Dallas was the far better team, but they obviously had the puck more. And when a team doesn't have the puck, they throw more hits. That's just the way hockey seems to work, because you're pursuing the other team a little bit more. Vegas followed up with 55 hits again in game number two, in which the play was far more balanced, and I thought Vegas was the better team throughout that game. So they showed that they can play physical on both sides. We're not going to get back to the first couple of years. Remember the arguments that we would have with people? I want this team to be hit. Their hit totals aren't near enough. They're different. They're a different team than they were then. But it's been impressive, one, the hit totals, and two, who's being credited for a lot of these hits up and down the lineup. It is every skater but one was credited with a hit in game two, and there was some significant totals on that list.
Yeah, it's playoff hockey. It's finishing your hits, and I think, you know, you look at it, and it's always fun when you get those games where you're getting into 130 hits combined between the two hockey clubs and all that. But I think for the Golden Knights, it's always going to be hitting with a purpose. It's always going to be physicality with a purpose, and the purpose is to kind of, you know, extend a forecheck, or to win a battle, or to just allow that team to know that it's going to be difficult to play against the Golden Knights, that they are a hard team to play against. And, you know, 55 hits in each of the first two games, that will pay dividends later on in the series.
You're right.
But again, it's not just physicality for physicality's sake. I think everything the Golden Knights do right now is done with a purpose, and that's to be as hard to play against as possible.
Well, how many hits do you think William Carrier Nick Waugh and Keegan Colasar will have off the opening faceoff. I assume that they would start tomorrow at the Fortress.
Yeah.
And that place is going to be just pandemonium off the start. First game that they've played in the playoffs since hoisting the Stanley Cup. So all those feelings will come back, I'm sure, for players and fans. And do you remember when? And are we going down this path now? And so forth. It's going to be awesome. But the idea that you do have to think of it one game at a time, that these are the kind of games where that phrase was invented, right? Mm-hmm. Where you've got opportunities, and I'll look at it from the half full point because that's where Vegas is, or Dallas has to take the same viewpoint. It is a 5-minute segment to get to the first TV timeout, be good halfway through the period, get through the opening 20. It's got to be a very concentrated and deliberate process through that. It went Canadian there for a second to establish this advantage that they want to build on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all you have, right? It's the moment. It's what's in front of you. And, you know, as much as you want to look ahead, as much as you want to sit there, if you're the Golden Knights and say, all right, if we take care of game three, we can get this done in four. We can get extra rest. We can do this. That's generally where things can kind of go haywire. And for the Dallas Stars, by the same token, if you start to look at a 2-0 deficit as the series is over, usually it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So it really does boil down to treat this as just a one-off game. You've got to take it one game at a time. And then ultimately, you know, regardless of what happens tomorrow, Dallas, their season's not over. And that's an aspect of this too, where as much as you want to go in and get that 3-0 lead, as much as Dallas wants to avoid that, like, there's still another game to be played after tomorrow. You've got to keep that in mind too.
Vegas has trailed for a minute 22 in the series so far. The other category that I would point out is they've had back-to-back third-period leads going into the final frame, and they've been able to successfully hold on to those. And the lead in game two, they handled very well. So big progress on that side, and great execution on the Vegas Golden Knights front. We've got a lot to get to in hour number two. We'll set that up for you as we continue on the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. I realize that I'm pacing myself with my vocal cords. Should be back all 2 hours next week, providing we get the clean bill of health and the write-off. But I may have to push it back. I'm just so devastated by learning that Chapman, for 6-plus years, has let us on that he's a fan. He was the voice of the fan on this program. And today, he announces he's not a fan, and he's protected by journalistic integrity. I'm not sure I can go on.
It's going to be hard. Not going to lie.
I'm going to have to find...
I've known him...
some motivation
I've
here.
I've known him longer than you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've known him longer than you, and this comes as a shock to me, so...
Now, at any point did we say, Chapman, you speak for the fans, and he would offer his opinion. At any point in the last 6 years did he tell us, I'm not a fan. I have journalistic integrity. I can't speak for the fans. Never.
No.
And there he is. And he's so afraid to talk to us right now.
That's because I'm so busy laughing.
He doesn't want to talk to us right now because he knows he's going to further bury himself in this conversation.
There's no burying. I'm
by the end of hour number two, I'm going to have Chapman on the hook for the Knights tattoo. It's going to happen.
I'm content.
Get
I'm
a
fine.
VGK tattoo tomorrow before
no,
the game.
No way. Never.
Why?
Yeah. No, not happening.
Wow. Hour two of the VGK Insider Show is coming up. Whew, deep breath.